Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We're pleased that you've joined us. And as we change from winter to spring to winter again, we come to praise the God of all seasons. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're pleased that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the first time or you've just recently begun attending, we're especially pleased that you're here this morning. Those of us who are here week in and week out would like to come and shake your hand and give you a word of greeting. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, you come introduce yourselves to us, because we're glad you're here. We would love it if you would choose to make a home here with us. One way to do that is by getting involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You'll see in your bulletin inserts lots of different ways to do that. I'm going to lift up just a few of those, but I hope you'll read all of them. Once again this year, our young people are taking part in the 30-hour famine. You can learn more about that at the table in Reed Hall, the 30-hour famine table, where you can make a donation if you want to. You can sample some foods that are common to different parts of the world. This is an attempt for our youth to understand hunger, because we here in North America don't experience what others experience in other parts of the world, and to raise money to help those who are hungry. So I hope you'll be supportive of this. Also, our communion offering will go toward the 30-hour famine. Say a little more about that later. This coming Wednesday evening at 6 p.m., Will Blum will be our featured person at Current. Will grew up in this church. His mom, Diane, was on staff here. Many of you will remember Will as a little younger person, probably. And he will be helping us understand that relationship between our faith and our culture as those two interweave. And so, Will, we're delighted that you're here with us this morning with your mom and your grandmother, and we're really looking forward to Wednesday evening as well. We're continuing the 140th celebration of this church as a station church. If you did not receive one of the beautiful booklets that the History and Archives Committee put together, you'll find those in the rack in Reed Hall. There are also different displays around the church. I hope you'll take a look at those. They feature different aspects of the history of West End United Methodist Church. You'll find a bookmark in your bulletin inserts as well. And Bishop McAlilly is helping us do that, which moves to our next point. Our preacher today is our resident bishop, William Bill McAlilly. He was elected in the summer of 2012 and has been here about a year and a half now. He came to us from being superintendent in the Seashore District of the Mississippi Conference. As you might imagine, that's along the Gulf Coast. He was appointed there right after Katrina hit. So he has a lot of experience working with groups who have come to help rebuild churches, groups who have come to help rebuild houses. During that time also, he developed a relationship between that district and the Methodist Church in Nicaragua. We're delighted that he can be here to preach for us today and to help celebrate communion with us. And also, his wife, Lynn, is here with us. She's the newest member of West End. She joined at the 8:45 service. We're delighted that you're here with us, and we celebrate your presence for both of you. Now, I need to say, Bishop McAlilly is sporting a different haircut than he had when I saw him last Thursday. He'll explain more about why that is, but it just goes to prove he's a good sport as well as a bishop. It is God who provides the food. It is God who welcomes us to the table. It is Christ who hosts the meal. All is prepared. Are you ready?
As God's children traveling life's journey together, we gather in this space to worship. We travel by faith, trusting in God's promises while offering ourselves in service to others.
We travel by faith, believing that God loves everyone unconditionally.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. And that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God.
As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Peace of Christ be with you. And also with you. Annabelle, and also with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Epistle to the Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarded its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. It is great to be with you this morning at West End United Methodist Church to celebrate this year of Jubilee, 140 years of Methodism in this place called West End. It's a joy to have Bishop Clark in our congregation today, who is among we who are bishops considered a saint. So thank you, Roy, for being here. Some of you are wondering about my new haircut. Many of you have never seen me before, but if you had, I used to have hair. As late as 10:30 last night, I had a hair of head hit on my hair. But I was at Warmth and Winter, our large youth event in the conference, and I challenged our young people that if they would raise $20,000, they could shave my head. $20,000 for youth service fund. Unfortunately, they were successful. And they, in fact, raised $24,000 for Youth Service Fund. What a great gift to the church. Youth Service Fund has been a part of our life together among young people for decades. And it offers dollars that can be granted to ministries within the annual conference in a service mentality, a way in which we can offer help to those who are doing extraordinarily gifted things for the sake of others. And then some of those dollars go beyond the annual conference. So what a great gift they have given us. Doubled the amount of money that they gave a year ago. It is the most expensive haircut I've ever received. And we pray it will grow back. Thank you, Michael, for the invitation to be here today to celebrate and worship with you in this wonderful and magnificent congregation. Will you pray with me and for me now? Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter in every storm of life, and our eternal home. As we gather here this day, we are reminded that we stand on the shoulders of others, that we did not, in fact, arrive in this place on our own. Somebody brought us. Help us touch those roots in our faith that allow us to remember and give thanks and live into a new future with hope and anticipation. And now, Lord, may those who've gathered here hear you and not me, see you and not me, and when we leave this place, may we be so very careful to offer you the praise and thanksgiving. Amen. I'm a Mississippian. Some of you know this. My father is a retired United Methodist pastor in the Mississippi Conference. His uncle, Swinnon, was a minister in the Mississippi Conference. My son is a pastor in the Mississippi Conference today. We come from a long line of those known as the Levites of Mississippi. But we got to Mississippi through our ancestors who came from South Carolina, who came from Ireland. But the Mississippi McAlilies came from Chester, South Carolina. Samuel McAlilly was a state senator in the South Carolina legislature prior to, as someone reminded me this morning after the service, the War of Northern Aggression, not the Civil War. He was a part of the legislature that voted whether or not to secede from the Union. His was the only dissenting vote against secession. Now, if you read South Carolina history, you will know that the history books record that the legislature voted unanimously. But the truth of the story is, Samuel went home after the vote had been taken. Everyone else hung around under the oak tree, reconvened, had another vote so they could say it was unanimous. There is a short street in Chester named McAlilly Street, and there is a marker, historical marker to that effect. So I'm not making this stuff up. It's true. Richard came from South Carolina to Winston County, Mississippi, settled out from Louisville, out Highway 14, in a little community called Center Ridge. You can go to Center Ridge, and you will find the grave marker for Margaret Williford Pegg, Granny Pegg. She is the matriarch of all the McAlillys. They were Presbyterians when they came to Mississippi. There was not a Presbyterian church within a wagon's day drive of their home place, and so they became Methodist. I like to say we were predestined to be Methodist. So our text this morning draws me to memories of ancestors. The 12th chapter, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. I'm thinking this morning about on whose shoulders do I stand? Who brought me to the baptismal font? Who made it possible for me to hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ? I wonder who is in your cloud of witnesses. On whose shoulders do you stand? Who brought you to the font? In 1963, our family moved from West Point, Mississippi to Fulton, Mississippi, where my father became the pastor at First United Methodist Church, Fulton. It was a frightening time for an 8-year-old. Had a similar haircut as this. In those days, it was cool. Miss Ann Stubblefield was the third grade Sunday school teacher at First United Methodist Church, Fulton. Her husband, Malcolm, was the choir director. And for some reason unknown to me, even to this day, Malcolm and Ann surrounded my brother and I with a great source of love and support and comfort and strength in those early days. Last summer, Miss Ann gave me a telephone call. She said, "You haven't been back to Fulton since you were elected bishop. When are you coming to preach?" I said, "Miss Ann, I can be there in August. What time would you like for me to be there?" And I was there. She was too. On Miss Ann's shoulders, I stand here today. I also stand on the shoulders of Billy Bonds McElroy. B.B. was my Boy Scout master when I was in the sixth grade. B.B. was the guy who taught me how to play the guitar. I stand on the shoulders of Ed Woodall. Ed was our conference youth coordinator in the Mississippi Conference, the former North Mississippi Conference, when I was a 10th, 11th, and 12th grader. And it was Ed who first said to me, "Bill, do you think God might be calling you to full-time Christian ministry?" Do you have a name? Do you see a face? Can you hear a voice that spoke into you words of grace, words of strength, words of mercy, words of invitation to more than you thought was possible in your life? Who is in your cloud of witnesses? In the chapter prior to the 12th chapter, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we have this great litany of faith, those who travel by faith. And verse 1 and 11 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things that cannot be seen." And then we have this great litany, Abraham and Sarah. Them good as dead, and they have this child, they name him Isaac. Isaac in Hebrew means laughter. If you were 97 and found out you were pregnant, you would laugh. There would be nothing else to do. Crying would not help. A over and over again, those who travel by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And we get to the 12th chapter and we get to this first verse. The first word of 12:1 is therefore. Now, when you come to a therefore in Scripture, you need to sit up, pay attention. Something important is about to be said. And the writer says, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us look to Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. This morning we will come to this table, and the ministers will say big and important words over common elements, bread and wine, body broken, blood shed. The Greek is anamnesis, in remembrance of me. Do this in anamnesis of me, in remembrance. We remember that we did not get here on our own. We remember that the grace that is ours comes to us as gift, undeserved, unmerited, gift. And so we come with hands open. When we kneel at the altar, we open our hands so that we can again receive the gift of the cloud of witnesses that have, those who have gone before us, who make it possible for us to get up in the morning and recognize that who we are and whose we are is more than we ever thought possible. And so when you come to this table today, be reminded that you come here not on your own. You come here as a part of that great cloud of witnesses. And in this place, for 140 years, people have gathered at this altar and have received the same grace. But there's more. We will say at the end of the communion ritual, as forgiven and reconciled children of God, rise and go. So that others might be able to come and know what you know, receive what you have received, offer to them what they have not yet known. Grace upon grace. So the invitation is always to come and to receive. And then go, surrounded by one who has loved you, who has called you by name, who invites you to keep your eyes focused on him. May we receive that grace this day. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
What a tremendous blessing it is to have all of you here to worship with us this morning. If you're a first-time visitor, please join us in Reed Hall after the service, to the doors to your right. And there's a Bread for the Journey table where you can come, receive a small loaf of bread, and more information about the ministries of this church. Also, if you notice in the pew rack in front of you, there's a gray card. On one side, you can put prayer requests, and on the other, you can put comments for staff and lay leadership. We'll be praying for you throughout the week. And you can put that card in the offering plate. Also, there is an attendance pad that's in the middle of the pew. If you will sign it, pass it down, and then look to see who you're worshiping with to say hello to those that you're worshiping with. God has graciously given all that we have. As a people of faith, let us return thanks through our tithes and our offerings.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, God of steadfast love, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with you, with us always, in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. As often as you eat this bread, do so in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink from this cup, do so in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet.
Now I invite you to join with me in that prayer that Jesus taught to those he called brothers and sisters and friends, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Since there is one loaf, we, though many, are one body, for we all partake of the same loaf. When we break this bread, it is a participation in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks is a participation in the blood of Christ. This is our Lord's table, and you are all invited. You don't have to be United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you're seeking a new or renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you're welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. We invite you to come by way of the center aisle. Kneel at the chancel rail. When you're ready to receive the elements, simply extend your hand. You'll receive the bread first, then the cup. You're welcome to remain for a time of prayer if you choose, and then when you do return to your seat, we ask that you return by way of the side aisles. If you need to be served in your pew for any reason, we're glad to do that. Either catch my eye or the eye of one of the ushers, and we will serve you there. We take an offering at every communion service, and this month, the offering goes to support our youth and the 30-hour famine. They'll be learning just a little bit about what many people in the world experience as serious hunger. And they will also be gathering money for the support of hunger programs around the world. And that's where this will go. There are two offering plates next to the front pews. If you'd care to leave your offering, you're welcome to leave it there. My friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
My story.
You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves for others.
Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things. Amen.
As a part of our service today and part of our celebration of 140 years as a Station Church, I've asked Bishop Roy Clark if he would dismiss us. He was pastor here during the 100th celebration of the 100th year. Seemed very fitting for him to dismiss us today as we celebrate 140.
You've been a part of the worship tradition of this church today. Now you go forth to be a part of its tradition of witness and service. Go forth in peace, and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.